You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 599, recorded on May 7th, 2019. Yet another reason to attend Wells EdTech Lead. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we are joined by teacher Jonathan Witte, who is going to be leading a session at our Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit this summer at the Kalahari in Wisconsin, Dells, Wisconsin, entitled Church and School Promotional Videos Telling Your Story to All. Just another reason that you want to be there, because it's going to be jam-packed full of great information that I think would be useful for your school or church's ministry. We have some great picks. Sally has a keyboard. I have a wallet. We have a ministry resource for teachers this week and some great community feedback. All that and more coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. It's 599 for May 7th, 2019. Show about technology and ministry. And joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you today?
I'm just fine. I am just as good as I was the first time we recorded this. So this is take two, folks.
We've only done this 599 times. You think we'd get this right at some point.
But sometimes
fortunately, the technology
issues
broke down after about 2 minutes. It's a little worse when it's at the 45-minute mark.
There you go.
But so we're thankful for that. We do say a little prayer before each show. But we didn't pray for the technology today, so that must have been our problem. I'm excited about the show because we are approaching a very exciting summit this summer. We've been talking about it nonstop. lots of different workshops, not just technology, but all kinds of education, leadership kinds of things that are going to be going on at the Kalahari, and we'll talk a little bit more about that midway through the show. But off and on, over the months leading up to that show, that conference, we've been bringing on for an interview some of the people that are leading workshops, and we decided to sneak one more in. My nephew, Jonathan Witte, who now is Teacher Witte, or Director of Bands Witte, at Luther High School in Onalaska, Wisconsin. And just because he's heavily into the music now does not mean he has put down his camera and stopped taking videos, because we've talked to him about that in the past and other exciting technologies. And he's going to be leading a workshop entitled Church and School Promotional Videos Telling Your Story to All.
Yeah, really looking forward to hearing what John has to say. And I think in the interview, you're going to hear some about the equipment he uses and things, but I think the big takeaway is going to be the storytelling. I think that's where videos hit the sweet spot, is the fact that you can be authentic in the stories that you share about your church and school and video promotion. So looking forward to his session, really looking forward to this interview that you did with him.
So let's play that now. Joining me today, Jonathan Witte, Director of Bands at Luther High School, Onalaska, Wisconsin. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thanks so much, Martin.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, background, current responsibilities, that kind of stuff.
All right. Yeah, as you said, I'm the Director of Bands at Luther, Onalaska. So I teach grade schoolers through high schoolers how to play band instruments, which is a huge passion of mine. Music, went to school for that. I've been here since July. This is my first year teaching. Graduated Martin Luther College last December. While I was at MLC, I did a whole lot of video work and photo work. I made lots of promotional videos for MLC and shot pictures along with Bill Peckerell and some other student helpers, and made all sorts of promotional stuff for them. Yeah, that's been my life right now, is band, but also getting into doing some video work for area schools and churches in the greater La Crosse area. So I'll be doing some of that this coming up summer also. I shoot some weddings every once in a while. And yeah, so that's what
I'm doing. How's first year been going so far?
It's been going well. First year teaching is kind of insane. as any teacher could probably attest to. So I've learned a lot about teaching, a lot about my students, and even more about myself.
Right.
which is, honestly, I love it. I really, really do. Good. So well, Luther's a great place to
blessings
be.
Blessings on your ministry there.
Thanks so much.
Let's take us back a little bit before even MLC. How did you get into photography and videography and filmmaking?
Sure. So my senior year of high school, I was on student council, and all the seniors, they had to choose a personal student council project. So my project that I put together was a school-wide lip dub. And a lip dub is essentially a big music video that involves every single person in the school. So we got all the various organizations, clubs, teams, choirs, bands together, and they each had their own little place in the school. And we played a song over the intercom, and as the song played, they would sing along to it, and I would walk by with the camera. So I would walk by, say, like the drama people, and then after them were the football people and such. And so for that, I bought myself a camera and figured out how to use it. And then after the lip dub happened, I figured, hey, I should probably actually use this since I have this awesome camera now. And I got into it from there. After the lip dub, a couple more schools actually asked me to shoot a lip dub, which was awesome. So I've done a couple of those. And then right after my senior year when I got to MLC, I got the job as a photographer and videographer, which basically, took
Neat.
Over then.
Let's geek out a little bit before we dive into some of these projects and what you're going to be talking about at this summer's conference. The technology that you use now, I know you've used like gimbals and drones, that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. How
do those play into your work?
Yeah, so that first lip dub, I started with a Glidecam HD 1000, which is like the entry level into stabilizers.
Mm-hmm.
So those just work with counterweights and such. So you counterweight the weight of the camera on top with some extra weights on the bottom. And then it's all just physics-based and inertia, which is really cool. It doesn't require batteries, and you can put it down really easily,
right?
Which is really nice. I love that. So I started out on that, and then I got a bigger one once I upgraded cameras. So I started shooting on a Canon T3i way back in the day.
That's just a regular consumer-grade camera. So you were doing this stuff with anything, you know, kind of Best Buy off-the-shelf stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just doing that. Once I got to MLC, MLC had awesome Nikon full-frame cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So I was shooting with like a D750 and D700 cameras like that. And then MLC got a DJI Ronin M. So that's a full-fledged motorized three-axis gimbal, which is really cool because it doesn't take the balancing and kind of technical know-how that a glide cam takes or a steady cam, because you don't have to counterweight anything. It's all just done by the motors. So that's really nice, also because you can hand it off to people and just keep the camera stable. So I've done lots of that. We've done like mini lip dubs or other projects at MLC where I was handing off the gimbal to someone or extending the handles out so I could have two people hold it and walk it over the baptismal font or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So all self-taught.
Yeah, for the most part, self-taught. Lot and lot of YouTube videos.
Right?
Yeah. So many. Yeah. Right. Before I even got my camera, I was like, okay, what does ISO mean and shutter speed and aperture? And dove into that. Yeah, so I've never had any formal training.
So you mentioned lip dub projects kind of got you started. Then you went to MLC, and it was not as much that as it was promo stuff, right? Talk a little bit about some of those projects.
Yeah, so the promotional videos range from like more of a narrative type piece, like telling someone's story, to projects like, say, that would be received at the National Youth Rally. So we're aiming them right at high schoolers and saying, hey, you come to MLC because of this or something like that. Or we'd make videos for, or just for the fun of it, of like flying the drone around, honestly. So we got a drone and did some basically gorgeous aerial shots to showcase what a beautiful campus we have. And I think that video plays in the background of MLC's website now. Other promotional things have been like MLC Day, which is coming up actually.
Right, next week. Or actually by the time this airs, it might have already even happened. So,
Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah, so did stuff for that.
Okay.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
What kind of editing? You know, do you do the editing as well?
Yeah, yeah. I started off in iMovie, which is powerful for being free.
Right.
And then from there, MLC had Final Cut Pro, which I used for a little bit. And then I switched over to all the Adobe products. So I started using Premiere and After Effects a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the session that you're going to be doing at our Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit about promotional videos. Describe maybe some of the reasons a church or a school should care about using video for promotion. I know that they think about it, but then they think, well, that's a lot of work, and you know, is it really worth it? How would you advise them?
Sure. In a time such as this, where everybody has a screen in front of them all the time, videos can be incredibly captivating. So they kind of coincide right with social media. It's a great thing to put up on your church or school's Facebook page. It's a great thing to show prospective members or students or families. Say like, hey, this is what we stand for. And you can have a pastor talking about why you worship at that church or what you truly believe and the great things that happen at your church or school. So videos are just a great way to get information and visuals out to people in a very captivating manner, really.
Yeah, it looks like I would think that the engagement numbers go way up when you begin to use imagery, especially video, versus just text or something else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And people are very used to watching videos at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thinking about what you're going to be talking to the attendees, the conference attendees about this summer, what are some of the key concepts that you're going to want to cover in the workshop?
Sure. So we're going to cover that why aspect that we just talked about. Then we're going to cover kind of the process to go through to create something, even yourselves, without even hiring anyone. So we'll talk about finding your church or school's story. Maybe it's the history of your church or school that's really awesome, or maybe it's these couple members that have this story that came from an outside place or something like that. So finding really a story like that, or just talking about what you believe in, and then working through writing a narrative, and then little techniques on how to even just use a smartphone to shoot.
Oh, really?
Some,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you can shoot some interviews with that. You can shoot some beautiful B-roll or just like gorgeous shots of places. Yeah, so we'll cover the basics of why to do it and then the how. I'll dive into how to hire someone too and then work with someone and say like, okay, this is what we want. How do we best support the company or person that's going to come in and shoot this?
Okay.
Basically.
So who would likely get the most out of this session? So if people are trying to figure out what their scorecard is for the conference and they're wondering whether to attend this, what kind of person or profile would you think would be a likely person that would sit and get a lot out of your sectional?
Sure. I think pastors could actually get a lot out of it because I think they really understand their congregations the best and probably know the most interesting stories that they could pull to present in a video, or obviously they know why they're a pastor and why their church exists.
Right.
So I think that'd be great. Principals would be awesome, getting them in and really seeing, hey, I can say what I'm like. Principals are always walking people through their school, getting new people in, and this could be a way to bring that same talk out to the masses through the internet.
Right. Makes sense.
Or any interested teachers really, or lay people, or basically anyone connected with a church or school.
Okay. Really? Not necessarily somebody with video skills or photography skills in the
Okay.
That's not a prerequisite, no.
Correct. No. It would definitely help. Like if you're interested in video and photo, we'll talk about and we'll nerd out about stuff like that.
Okay.
But also just learn.
Very good. So somebody walks out the door after attending your session, what do they take back with them? What are their takeaways?
So we're actually gonna start writing a narrative for each of their places, so a little bit of an interactive thing. Maybe it's just writing down questions like, why do I go here? What's my favorite thing? So they'll come away with some ideas about how to best promote their school. Also, just some examples of, hey, this kind of shot opens up a video really well. Or interviews are a good way to do things, and maybe a little bit of interview techniques also, just to get the most out of those.
I know it's in your title, it talks about telling your story to all audiences. So I'm assuming that you've got some some conversations around, you know your audience, and obviously that may dictate how you do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I have this huge passion for like using Christian media in non-Christian circles, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the internet's a great place for that because anyone can find it anytime. Sure. So basically saying who you are and telling that story of the church or school, and allowing anybody to understand that and grab hold of it.
Okay, super. Yeah. Jonathan, thanks so much for your time. Church and school promotional videos, telling your story to all audiences. So if you're interested in that, it'd be great for you to join him. And I'm excited about it. I'm going to see if I can duck in there as well. I think, super useful stuff that I think every organization needs to be paying attention to these days. So
definitely.
Thanks so much for your time.
Of course.
Thank you, Jonathan, for taking time out of your schedule. It was kind of a last-minute thing, and I know it's the end of school year, so he's probably got a few things on his plate, especially being a first-year teacher as well. But nice tease and a great, I think, something to look forward to at the conference, those people that are going to be able to take advantage of that. And a lot of people signed up for his session.
Yeah, very popular session, but there's still room for people to sign up. And I love that you asked him about who should attend, because I think it's basically anyone.
It's pretty broad,
You shouldn't be intimidated if you don't have photography or video experience. I think this is a great place to get motivated to get started.
Very good. So thanks again for sharing that with us, and looking forward to hearing more. Let's move on to our Wells Now segment, which is kind of an add-on, because time is running out for the Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit. But it's not run out completely. You still have a chance to sign up, and there's still room.
Sure, and our website is wellsedtechlead.com, and you can go to /register to get right to the registration information. We have all kinds of information about our keynote presentations, worship opportunities, which I'm super excited about. We're going to have both Branches Band and Koine there as part of our worship services. We have a fantastic Ignite event, so if you're an attendee and you're listening, this is your chance to share your ministry success stories with the crowd, and I think it's going to be a fun format, and we're giving away a Kindle to one of the Ignite presenters, so that should be a lot of fun. Lots more built in. There's good food. There's good fellowship. I'm really looking forward to just being there at the Kalahari. Actually, I can tell folks, I was there yesterday, and it is a happening place. I think we're going to really enjoy our time there, and especially the fact that this is really going to be a family event where lots of people are bringing along the family, and it's going to be kind of Wells reunion time there at the Kalahari. It should be a lot of fun.
It's been a while since, first of all, we've had a tech conference. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since the education folks, now we've got this joint conference that they've had their conference as well. So, like you said, a lot of reunions, but a lot of new relationships, I'm sure, that'll happen as well, because that's one of the neat things about a conference, is that kind of that hallway, meetup concept is really important, just kind of making connections with people that maybe have similar interests and sharing great ideas.
And maybe we haven't divulged this before, Martin, but we are expecting over 400 attendees.
Right?
That's an awesome number. We hope that we get more this month before registration completely closes. But one special note I wanted to make today, because I just heard about this morning, and that is that if you're intending to stay at the Kalahari, you should really take the time to go ahead and make your reservation now. We have a block of rooms, but when that block sells out, there's no more special pricing for the rooms. And our room price is really great. The standard room rate of $159, and that includes 4 water park passes. So that's a really great value for staying at the Kalahari. I understand that at least one of the nights, there are less than 20 rooms left at that rate. So, and we know there's more people to get their room reservations in. So if you want to stay there at the great rate, I would really recommend you rushing over and getting that done. We'll have links in the show notes. There's a link to securely register online and get the discount rate. And there's also more information if you'd rather call on the phone and give them the Wells Education Technology Leadership Summit
Code.
Code, right. Right.
Very good. So run, don't walk to your
That's
computer.
Right. Get it done.
Okay. Let's move on to our picks of the week. Sally, pick of the week?
I have a hardware pick of the week this week, and I didn't realize how near and dear this was to my heart until I was kind of without it for a little bit. So my hardware pick is a really affordable Bluetooth keyboard. It's the Logitech K380 wireless keyboard, and I've used a couple of Logitech keyboards in the past, and this is kind of their current version. And one reason I really like it is the price point is only $30, so that's a great value. I am a huge fan of the wireless keyboard thing. I just would rather keep my desk less cluttered and have less wires to be tethered to. But I also really like this keyboard for the keyboard feel. It's kind of a chiclet kind of keys. They're pretty small and clicky, and that fits the way that I like to experience typing. And then finally, it has three different Bluetooth communication channels. So you can pair it to up to three devices and be able to easily switch between them. So perhaps you have a tablet that you'd like to use an external keyboard with, or even your phone, and you can set it up to pair with those separately from your computer. So I had the opportunity to just use my laptop keyboard, and I was greatly disappointed in the experience and was kind of running back to the Logitech K380 and happy to have it on my team now. So I wanted to make that recommendation today.
Nice. Battery life, I'm assuming, is super long. If it's any,
yeah.
I had one. I had an 810, I think, but it was kind of backlit. But it's...
I want to say it said on the...
It isn't rechargeable. Yours is got batteries.
It does, but I want to say it lasted like a year and a half. Like
oh,
my
really?
Last one, I haven't replaced batteries, and okay. I know I've had it over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has triple A's in it.
And, okay.
Yeah, easy to replace.
Awesome. Yeah. I like that style of key as well. It just feels nice and is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need the full-size keyboard either that, you know, it's got the number pad and whatever. I like these better, too. So.
Totally not a trackpad fan. So
right.
My keyboard and my Bluetooth mouse.
Right.
Or I guess it's wireless. But, yeah.
Cool. That was the Logitech, what was
K380.
The number? K380.
They have them at Best Buy.
Okay.
$29.99.
Cool. My pick of the week was actually something that I was at a conference last week. I was out in Utah, a technology conference that I attended, and one of their giveaways, it's a nice conference, I've been a number of times, one of their giveaways is something called a Thread Wallet. A Thread Wallet, if I had to describe it, I've got it here in my hand, it's basically a nice premium elastic, two bands of it. So it's kind of made in the form of a loop. It's about the size of a credit card. And basically, you slide your cards into it. You can put some folding, your paper money in it as well. But fits about eight cards, or can. The designs on it are kind of nice, too. If you go to their site, they have a number of different kinds. The one that was the giveaway was called the Elastic Card Holder, but you can customize it with your own images, or if you're doing them as a giveaway, they did their conference theme, which was a space theme this year. But you slide your cards in. They've got an internal area and two external pockets that you can put cards in. Like I mentioned, high-grade elastic, and there's no way these are coming out. That's a concern that they've even addressed in their FAQ on their site. But you could shake this thing till the cows come home, and these cards are not coming out. But if you want to get them out to present them for payment, they're very easy to pull, slide in and out. I've always been on a quest for the smallest possible thing in my pocket, and this is actually the smallest thing I've been able to find that will hold the appropriate cards and my Anthem card, my driver's license, a few credit cards, and a couple dollar bills, and that's about it. It does have a little keychain on it, so you can actually use it as a keychain, put your keys on it, so you got it kind of all in one. They have other designs, too. They have those that are made of leather. They have lanyards, all kinds of pretty cool designs and textures and those kinds of things. So they're very inexpensive. The ones that I'm looking at now on the site are $15. They have higher grade ones too, but this is just kind of a nice fit for somebody looking for kind of a thin, kind of tech forward, you know, approach to a wallet. You can't obviously stuff it full of maybe some of the things I've seen in wallets, you know, that make them an inch thick. But if you're looking for the minimalist approach, this is maybe something you want to try. Threadwallets.com. So I can speak highly of them. And they claim the elastic, which is actually very high grade, lasts, you know, for years. So, which is surprising to me because you're opening and closing and opening and closing it all the time.
Yeah, I am thinking that any conference that has a giveaway item that, you know, earns a spot and a pick of the week is a good conference
right?
to go to. I mean, I've been on a committee here and there looking for giveaway items for EdTech Lead Summit, for instance.
This would be cool. Yeah.
That's a pretty neat one. Yep. Yeah, I like it.
All right, so that's my pick, and all these links that we've just talked about will be in the show notes if you're interested as well. We do have a ministry resource this week, kind of a unique pick. It is Teacher Appreciation Week.
It is.
One of the neat things about the week, because I'm married to a teacher, is I usually get to go out and at least one of us eats for free, and it's usually the teacher in my life. But I found an article on USA Today that talks about all the places that you can go this week to find either free or discounted food if you are a teacher. And obviously, it's not... nothing that not even close to what our teachers deserve is, you know, free meal once in a while. But this is at least a nice article you can look at. Talks about deals at Chipotle, which I think we're probably going to tonight. Arby's, Chick-fil-A. The list is actually pretty long. Not all of these are chains or local. Well, maybe they all. Most of them are chains, but not all of them are around here. But there, if you look at the article, there's probably something near you that you can take advantage of. So hopefully you're listening to this podcast still during the week, but the options are all out there, and it kind of gives you the list of the location and what the details are of the discount. So,
you know, I'm sure these restaurants put these deals out here, but they aren't expecting somebody like the Wells Tech podcast to pick up on this article and share. I can imagine the impact that we're going to have on their bottom line by all of these people rushing out and enjoying this free food. I think it's a great idea.
So it's loosely a ministry resource, but it's a resource for our ministry workers. So
there you go. We want them to be well fed.
That's right. I don't know if by going to... Chipotle, you're going to be, I mean, you'll be fed, but
right.
Yeah. Let's move on to community feedback.
1 cent. All right. A couple of things to make mention of in community feedback this week. First of all, a shout out to Pastor Steve Daly, who is our most faithful and diligent reporter of issues on the Google lectionary calendar. Martin, we have done this Google lectionary calendar for years, literally, and I think there are a lot of people that make use of it. It's a Google calendar. You can import it right into your own Google calendar. You can display it on your church website if you want, and it basically has the readings and the prayer of the day, the color of the day, the hymn of the day for each Sunday and special services throughout the church year. And unfortunately, it is done by humans and occasionally mistakes are made. So this past Sunday, the gospel reading said Luke instead of John. And we really apologize for that. But we really do
know the difference.
Yeah, yes. there is a difference in those two books of the Bible. But we obviously are doing our best to get it all correct and out there. It comes actually from the worship office. Martin and I just work on the technical side of things, but still a great resource, even though there was that one error this past Sunday. But if you don't use the Google lectionary calendar, maybe it's time for you to check it out and make use of it.
Yeah, even if you're not planning worship, you can subscribe to the calendar and see what the readings are coming up. And
yep, great way to prepare.
Yep.
All right, a couple of mentions from the Wells Intersections group out on Facebook, just a group of people that actually got together after our Wells Tech Conference 2015, kind of led by Pastor James Aderman. He's constantly sharing interesting articles, and there's always great conversation. The first one that caught my eye was something I experienced recently. The article title is "The Facebook Pixel, A Newbie's Guide to Facebook Advertising." So I did just recently put an ad out about the EdTech Lead Summit. Imagine that. And in the process of creating that ad, I encountered this pixel thing, which was something new to me. And basically, it's a little snippet of code that you can put on your own website, and Facebook can track your site visitors and learn things about them that can help you create audiences for your Facebook advertising. So it knows who your typical visitors are based on their Facebook accounts, then can construct for you better audience information for your advertising. It seems like it might be a worthwhile thing to consider if you want to have Facebook do a little bit of analytics for you. And this article gets into a lot of the details about how it works and why you might consider doing it, what it is, how to create it, how to install it, that kind of thing. I will tell you, I didn't install it on any of our websites at this point, but I did find it interesting and maybe something that you want to consider for your church or school site.
Yeah, I think it's important to look for some of these tools that'll give you a little bit better intelligence about how your whatever, your site, your blog post, whatever is doing. Mm-hmm. It's just good stewardship to try and be as smart about that as possible, other than just assuming that because it's out there, they're going to come. This also gives you a little bit more intelligence about who's coming, you know, what's the what kind of demographic, which could help you as well. So
exactly. So check out the article. One more article that was mentioned, it's from Church Communications, and the title of the article is "Does Your Church Need a Mobile Site or an App?" And it's kind of written contrasting between the pros and cons of having an app that's in the app store versus a often called responsive mobile site, or what's the new term, Martin?
PWA.
Oh, a PWA. Do you know what that stands for?
Progressive Web App.
Progressive Web App.
That's what the Wells app is.
Okay, and we've talked about that before. So there's a little bit of background in that article about those kind of considerations. I am just going to take the opportunity to throw out there that there is an option for a web-based app, not something that goes through the app stores necessarily. It's called Glide, and it's a super easy way to create a mobile application using a Google Sheet of all things. So you work in a spreadsheet, and your mobile app is the product of that. And I found it super easy to do. If you are attending the Wells EdTech Lead Summit, you're going to have an app to use to guide your way through the summit, and we created it with Glide. And I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, mm-hmm. but probably worth that second mention because it's a really neat tool.
Very good. If you'd like to contribute to the show, that is so easy to do just by going to our show notes page, which is wellstech.wells.net. Across the top, you'll see all kinds of little social media icons. You can click on any of those that catch your eye, whether it be Pinterest or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is that you're connected to, that you can find us there. You can also leave us a note on the website itself on any of the shows. You can click add a comment and leave us an email. wellstech@wells.net. It's a way a lot of our feedback comes, and that's just fine. So let us know what you think, future topics, comments on topics you heard on the show, maybe suggestions for interviews. We are always thirsty for people to get on the show and to hear their experience, ministry and technology experiences. So please take advantage of those avenues and join the conversation. Sally, do we have a video of the week?
We do, and I thought it was about time to give our friends a reminder to consider cybersecurity. I know we did some shows a while back about security and policies and things around that, and it's something that you don't want to let it slide off your radar. You want to be always aware and always, supporting and reiterating those kinds of lessons. And this would be appropriate for your faculty and staff as well at your church or school. So this week's video is how to pick a proper password. It's a short, I think maybe 2-minute video, but it gives some really great examples of ways to consider structuring your passwords and obviously things to avoid as well. So check out the video and share it. Share it with a friend so that they have the opportunity to pick proper passwords as well.
Very good. Coming up next week, show 600, we're going to be finishing up our series on intranets. And we've done a couple of church, we've done one school, we've picked a couple of technologies to show some examples and kind of talk through the pluses and minuses. We've been looking at Google Sites and Google Docs. For church and school intranets, we've been looking now at Trello. So we're up to Trello for school intranets. So if you're interested in maybe how Trello might be able to help you out in building your school intranet, show 600 is the one for you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week.